From South Beach, Miami, welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. I am so excited to be here with you. We want to help to change your life. We want to help to, so basically, you can succeed. So you can achieve your wildest dreams. And we're going to help you do that by getting into the tough things. Man, I was actually rushing to get here today because we have a great interview for you. It was correcting things literally before the show. And, you know, here on Believe, we help you in five major categories: money and business, true success, health and wellness, world news, and our universe. Our website is www.believe.love. And, you know, I have somebody really special for you today. Somebody we've had, of course, legendary billionaire investor Jim Rogers on the show. We've had so many great people on the show. But our guest today, he really knows about not only about making money and helping you to succeed in terms of business, you know, what we see in terms of success right now, which might be making money and freedom and everything that comes along with that. But also, he's had really, really deep life-changing experiences that I think can help to help us to see what true success is, maybe what your real purpose is. And so James Nowlin is a guy that I think can help us become really, really happy. I'm so excited he's here. He's a really, really deep guy. He wrote a book called The Purposeful Millionaire. And in this book, James shares the four-part formula he used to transform his life into one of abundance and purposefulness. He believes that if he can survive the literal waters from which he was pulled, he had a near-death experience, and we're going to talk about that, that you too can survive and thrive in life's rough waters. So, James, I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome to Believe, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicholas. It's an honor to be on the show.
Wow, James. So I was talking in a calm manner before the show, like kind of like this, like down. But I was rushing. You know, we all have these things. We want to be like James. We want to be happy. We want to be kind of together. But James, you had a really life-changing experience where not only were you just maybe a little bit frantic, but you nearly died. Tell us what happened to you, James.
Yeah, I did have a near-death experience, Nicholas, and I'm quite grateful for it. You know, I was 31 years old and I had achieved a great amount of success financially, and I had what a lot of people would say are the right things, the right house, the right cars, the right flashy friends, the right opportunities to invest with other highly successful, motivated people, and also the ability to travel around the world any way that I wanted to. But I wasn't fulfilled on the inside. On August 25th, 2012, a buddy of mine and I went out to my lake house in East Texas, and we decided to go kayaking. Being the cocky young guys that we are, who were both high achievers, we decided to go kayaking and leave our life jackets at home. A big storm rolled in, dark clouds came in, and eventually it started raining, and 3 and 4 foot waves were crashing into our kayaks, and my kayak sank. I tried to save my kayak and eventually became exhausted. During this time, you know, we were beginning to panic because we were in the middle of the lake. My buddy's kayak eventually sank. And that night, I became quite exhausted. I inhaled water into my lungs. And my buddy knew that I was in super, super bad shape. And quite frankly, Nicholas, he made the life or death decision to leave me to swim to shore for help. And when he said goodbye to me that night, I didn't think that I would live. I did not think that he would live. But by the grace of God, we both lived.
Wow. So you guys actually made it out of the water, but then it was the fact that there was water in your lungs. Is that correct?
Right. So I had begun drowning when he swam to shore. He swam to shore to get help, and I was left behind to tread water and try to survive. Once he got to shore, a neighbor and his son deployed with my buddy Tyler on their jet ski and went out over half a mile into the lake. And they basically found my drowned body. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. And if you know anything about Texas, you know the reservoirs, the lakes here are really, really big. But all I can say is that the universe pointed them in the right direction at the right time. They found my body, pulled me out of water, took me to the shore on the jet ski. And by the time they got to the shore, first responders were there and they worked to bring me back to life.
My goodness. So James, what happened when you were in this state? of sort of, yeah, basically you had drowned. Did you have any visions or any?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
You know, I want to call it the complete experience, Nicholas, the complete experience of transferring life from this body to another place. My spirit transitioned during that time. I saw light. I experienced the transition of saying goodbye to ones I loved, and also seeing the faces of ones who had died before me on this earth, including the face of my deceased grandmother. It was one of those experiences where it was painful drowning at first, but then eventually you feel like a warm blanket is wrapped around you, and you feel this experience of euphoria and nirvana that is nothing like you've ever experienced on earth before. And that's something that I will never forget, leaving my body, going to a different place. And as I was rescued, Nicholas, it was as if I were in a helicopter with a spotlight shining down on my body, and I saw myself being rescued. I saw what was happening in the water. I remember watching myself fall out like a limp noodle into the lake and having my buddy and a neighbor dive in to retrieve me. I had completely drowned. And in fact, my buddy who rescued me, he's a medical doctor. He's a neuroradiologist. And he said, you know, James, I never imagined that the human lungs could have so much water in them. And by the time we rescued you, you know, we had no idea if you would survive or what you would be like if you did survive.
Wow. This really motivates me. I was actually having, you know, I've been a little bit tired, and we could talk about, you know, how we can motivate ourselves even when we're not feeling our best. Because a lot of people out there that want to succeed, sometimes they're not at their best all the time. But this really motivates me because, first of all, I'm glad you're okay. But also the fact that you went through this, the visions that you saw, you mentioned your grandmother, you mentioned, you know, for me, it just is another real life reminder that we're more than just this body, that this is an experience and that there's so much more for us out there. James, tell me more about some of the realizations you've had after this experience, or maybe even during it, about maybe the meaning of your life and maybe why we're here on this planet, if you'd like.
It really caused me to reevaluate people, places, and things in my life. For 3 years after the accident, I spent a lot of time reflecting. I spent a lot of time working on myself and working on mastering my subconscious to understand why this thing didn't necessarily happen to me, but why it happened for me. Now, Nicholas, during this time, you know, I had experienced euphoria. I had experienced nirvana. I had the whole near-death experience and the out-of-body experience. And I had to ask myself, why was I left behind on Earth? Quite frankly, I ended up doing some being prescribed some antidepressants. And for the course of 3 years, I experimented with two or three different types of antidepressants in thinking that they would help me to find my happiness, to find my peace, to find my purposefulness on Earth. And it was because I took this journey with antidepressants, doing this work on myself, that I eventually realized that this is something that did not necessarily happen to me to punish me, but it happened for me so that I would awaken, so that I would open my eyes to the great possibilities of what it's like to live a purposeful life. You know, prior to my accident, I was living on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of happiness between a 5 and an 8 on a daily basis, in spite of having achieved financial success and relationship success and all other types of successes that society measures. Now, after the accident, during my evaluation period, I had to do the work. I had to do the meditations. I had to do the spiritual work. I had to reaffirm to myself that I was supposed to be here on this earth and that I had more work to do. And throughout that time, I became a better person, a stronger person. I reevaluated relationships. I thought about who I wanted to include in my life as a like-minded supporter, and some relationships that I, quite frankly, had to say goodbye to, including some business, personal, and family relationships as well, of people who were not making deposits in my life, but who were making withdrawals in my life. So this period of 3 years of evaluation really served me to become a better more awakened, more conscious person about everything that I could become. And that's because I was willing to do the work and to look at the accident in terms of something not necessarily bad that happened to me, but was preparing me for greater opportunity and for a greater life ahead of me.
Well, that is so motivational. I had, you know, I think when people hear stories like this, sometimes we can relate, but I haven't had a near-death experience. So that is so amazing to me. And I want to hear more about your mission. I can relate to you in that I made a lot of money. I also lost some money, then I made some. And then I was still angry, so I went, you know, to Peru and had an ayahuasca ceremony and then and some other different things which have definitely opened my being, I guess, and definitely I can relate to you on that. And some people have had these experiences, but I would love to ask you this because you mentioned one thing specifically. You said that, you know, you had to do the work, that basically after you realized you had to do the meditations or you decided to, you know, it sort of helped you, this near-death experience helped to motivate you to do the things you needed to do, maybe what I'm getting, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to do them more often. And I want to ask you, because even people watching this, a lot of people know what to do. They know what to do to make themselves feel better. Even me, I have a show where we help people feel better, and I don't all the time do everything that I know I could do to be at my most harmonious. I would say I'm getting better, and over time, it's sort of, I'm harmonizing definitely more than I was in the past, so my down days maybe aren't as far down, but still, sometimes we procrastinate in terms of the things we really need to do. What would you say happened to you, and talk, if you'd like, a little bit more about what influenced you to really do those meditations more, and what would you say to people that are holding back, that they are procrastinating, just something inside them is saying, I'm not going to quite do, you know, everything I need to, you know, I don't really need to do it today. What would you, you know, talk about your experience more in terms of that. And then what would you say to people, even like me, that we are procrastinating a little bit, not going full force into the harmony we know we can be?
Well, I believe that the procrastination is based upon fear of the unknown. Mm. Also, it's fear of success. A lot of us are dealing with the fear of what we could possibly become, and that's what actually holds us back sometimes. You have to do the work on yourself, and you have to be willing to do the affirmations, the incantations, the meditations that really help to change the subconscious of all the baggage that you're carrying with you from your prior life, the baggage of certain things that might have happened to you in school, in childhood, in college, certain things that might have happened to you in your marriage. Those things build up and they turn into what I call mind trash or mind garbage. Now, about 80% of the thoughts that we have about ourselves on a daily basis are negative. You know, I cannot, I will not, I'm not able to, or I am not enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. And we end up comparing ourselves to others. And a lot of this is based upon how we were raised, how we were taught, or some of the social interactions that we've had in terms of comparing ourselves to others. Now, I had to do the work where I said, you know what? I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else, but I'm going to focus on my mission. In order to get to that state of consciousness where the subconscious is cleared, where we get to a higher state of vibration, where we're looking toward the world as a world of opportunity, and we're getting to a better place in this world, there has to be work that you do on yourself. For example, one of the first things that I do in the morning, wherever I am, whether it's at a hotel or whether I'm in my house, is I wake up and I make my bed and I chant out loud, I am, I can, I will. Or I'll sing a little song to myself. And this is quite popular. It's this little light of mine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Now, that song has religious roots to it, but it also is a powerfully spiritual song that reminds you that the light within you cannot be extinguished unless you extinguish that light. So when we plant these seeds of positivity in our minds, Nicholas, they help to crowd out the weeds that we have that are growing. When the flower seeds and when the tree seeds are growing, they crowd out and they shade out the weeds. But it's because you're doing this work on yourself on a daily basis to push away those negative thoughts, those 80% of thoughts that you have about how things will not work out for you in this world, or how this world is just too tough or too wicked of a place. And you begin to think more positively. You walk more erect and more strongly. You talk to people with more confidence. You vibrate at a higher frequency when you're having conversations with business associates and when you're negotiating at the boardroom table. It's this whole level of vibration that you go from having a ho-hum vibration in your life to going to a much, much higher level. It becomes very exciting where you continue to have a snowball effect in terms of the positivity that you're putting out into the world and the positivity that you're getting back from the world. But it starts with doing those little daily rituals, such as singing songs out loud in your mind, or out loud when you're making your bed, or in your mind throughout the day when a challenging circumstance comes toward you, so that you can build those trees, so that you can have them blossom and grow to shade out all those negative weeds of pessimism that have been handed down to us by society, by childhood, by school, by judgmental peers, by all those things. It's about loving yourself first.
I love that. I am, I can, I will. And jamesnowlin.com, by the way, is James's website, NOWLIN.com. And I think there are free downloads and so many cool things we're going to talk about. But I love that. I am, I can, I will. And actually, it reminded me, there's so many Kundalini yoga chants, and there are, we've gone over those in past episodes, and it is good in terms of tapping into your subconscious. And then what it reminded me of is there's actually energetic signatures, and I can feel them when you're a little bit down. You know, you produce these energetic signatures, and it's not just you. It could be the Wi-Fi. It could be other things. You know, we'll talk about it. And I'm not just saying that. It could be a lot of things, and it also can come within us. It could be other things that we can't see, energetic influences. And we can love those. Actually, so when I close my eyes, because sometimes James is pretty just on it. He's on it. And some of us, we go a little bit more up and down, you know, and even knowing some of these things, it's okay. You know, somebody explained it to me once, a lady in Sedona, Arizona. She was doing a reading, and I've had readings where people just make things up. But this lady was not making things up. She did a reading where there was no doubt. She knew things that there was no way she would know. Mm-hmm. And she said that sometimes it's not a linear path to harmony or sort of getting to the place James is talking about. That it might not be just a straight line towards perfection. It might be maybe a helix or a spiral to that direction. Or you might have a big event that really propels you, and then you're able to stay in that place of harmony. But there could be, it doesn't have to be a perfect straight line up. So when you have those days, it reminded me to send love to those things we think about ourselves that are negative, and actually to send that feeling to those negative feelings or those feelings of pain inside of ourselves. So when James was talking, it reminded me, and I'm just sitting here closing my eyes, to literally let those feelings harmonize, those negative things in my head, that feeling like, oh, you know, I'm tired today. I'm trying to help people, but I feel just, and in addition to saying what James said, I am, I can, I will, you know, just to energetically love those things we think we should hate, because there's so much going on. There's, you know, the NFL protests and the president saying things. People are mad. People are mad at NFL players. NFL players are mad at the president. There's all these things. But just loving sending loving to all those people, all sides, whatever side they're on, sending love out, you know, instead of just maybe, you know, we can sit with it. We can sit, and it can drive us literally. We can become so angry. But I love what James is saying. So, James, I'd love to ask you about something people are really, really concerned with, which is money. And, you know, I think the most important thing, you mentioned a lot already about how when you're in harmony or when you're feeling harmonious, it will help you deal better with people. I can confirm that as well. Deal better with when people don't pay you, when people are late, right? When things are going on in business, or maybe just, you know, when you're in that state, we handle everything better. But specifically, your book, The Purposeful Millionaire, you address all those things in terms of feeling amazing, but you've actually done things. You've actually, in money, when it comes to money and business, you actually have to get things done. And it helps when we're harmonious, but we still have to take action. What would you say to people that just can't seem to get anything going, that want to make more money and have a better business, and also to stay in a state of harmony?
I've got a lot to say about this. You know, the first step is to really evaluate, figure out whether you're living with a poverty consciousness mindset or an abundance consciousness mindset. One of the things that limits most people is their poverty consciousness. A lot of them don't even know that they're dealing with poverty consciousness or struggling with poverty consciousness. And poverty consciousness basically is that, you know, with more things, I will be more happy, or there is never enough of these things in the universe. Therefore, I have to compete and fight for those things against family, friends, business associates, and so on. Now, we live in an infinite universe of opportunity and of abundance, abundance of love, abundance of relationships, abundance of opportunities, abundance of financial blessings. When we shift from thinking that the world is a world of limitations to a world of infinite possibilities and abundance for all people, something happens within us where we tell the universe, more of this, please, more of this, please. When you approach the world with gratitude for what you have, and you're willing to work toward what you want to have in this world, and you manifest appreciation and do the right things with an abundance consciousness, everything changes and opportunity starts to awaken for you. Now, a lot of people, you know, don't really know if they're dealing with poverty consciousness or if they have inherited from a certain family, from their family. But a lot of us grew up in families where, you know, we were told, well, money doesn't grow on trees, or there will never be enough, or that rich people are evil. You've got to wash your mind of all these negative thoughts, because basically what that tells the universe is that I can't handle that and I can't be blessed with that. So if I think that rich people are evil, I'm basically telling God, the universe, and everybody else that I can't be rich or one of them, because I'm condemning evil. You know, this whole thing of getting these formulas of success in your mind all twisted just puts up blockages about what you can become, what you can do, and what you can receive on this earth. One of the exercises that I do with clients that I'm coaching is I ask them to assess their home. Take a 10, 15 minute walk through your home, through your apartment, through your condo, and evaluate, how does it smell? Are the appliances in good working condition? Are there dust bunnies the size of footballs in the corners of the house? When was the last time you made your bed and took care of your house so that when you walk through, you know that it's your sanctuary bringing you peace of love, peace and love? I ask people to do this exercise because it opens their eyes for them to understand that if they are not taking care of that which they have already been blessed with, they're not going to receive more. Now, if you treat your car like a clunker or a jalopy that just gets you from point A to point B and you slam the door and don't change the oil in it, why would the universe bless you with a Bentley or Maserati or Ferrari? You've got to manifest to the world that you can handle those higher blessings, that you can handle things that require more maintenance and care by taking care of what you've already been blessed with. One of the things that I do ritualistically in my home is, even though I have a housekeeper, I'll go through on the weekends and I'll scrub toilets, and I'll just go through and make sure that everything is in perfect working condition and that there was no dust forgotten in any corner of the house. And I'll do some of the cleaning myself. Now, that tells the universe that not only am I grateful, but in the event that the universe and God have in mind for me to be blessed with something bigger and even more extraordinary than that which I already have, that I can handle it. I'm caring for what I already have, and I'm opening the doors of opportunity to more.
Well, that's amazing. And I love the quote on your website, James Nowlin, Nowlin.com. Money is spiritual. Everything about it is. It is a feeling. It is a force. It is among the highest of currencies. Wealth is created in one's mind and only obtained and grown when willpower and discipline meet opportunity. And actually, that's the kind of quote, and that's a quote by James. That's the kind of quote you got to break down each part of it, because you could just read it, but when you get to the end there, and only obtained and grown when willpower and discipline meet opportunity, you have to, you know, you could sit with that quote for a while. I recommend everybody does that. And we're actually going to show James's website right now on the screen for our YouTube viewers. And also, he's got another website I recommend everybody check out, which is jamesonamazon.com. And what I love about what James just said, and I'm looking at the results of the world's largest near-death experiences study published. Of course, James, we talked about, had a near-death experience. And this is, in 2008, a large-scale study involving 2,060 patients from 15 hospitals in the United Kingdom, United States, and Austria was launched. And basically, it talks about people were aware of their surroundings even when they were sort of out of their body or dead. And so basically, there was one case, even a blind person knew what the doctors were doing while they were dead, and they came back to life, and they said what everybody was doing. They went over the situation. My point is how it directly relates to what James just said. Even with me, I've done millions of dollars of sales within 1 year. I still have times and months and everything where I get a little bit scattered, and I get into this poverty, maybe this poverty consciousness a little bit more. And even my place, and it's good that James, my place is a freaking mess right now. Now, part of that is me subconsciously, I think, kind of like trying to, my mother used to make us clean when things weren't dirty. And so I'm making excuses, and I'm like, hey, I can put this here. Nobody can tell me. And, you know, and I laugh with her about that now because I love my mother. And by the way, she works so hard now. She can't even clean like she did back then. But I'm still making excuses. Mm-hmm. I still get in this poverty consciousness sometimes where it's like, I even have different thought. We're doing a free energy project in Venezuela. If we had free energy and we already have 3D printers, we wouldn't need money at all. But you know what? I have to pay bills every month. I'm trying to grow this company. I need to make money again, make a lot of money just like I have. My point is this mindset and this thing is that people are dealing with this all the time, even people that are successful. It's more of a mindset. So James, I have to ask you, for people that, you know, and How would you tell somebody, hey, here's how you can be more consistent? Because you seem like a very level, consistent guy. And I think people want to be like that. They would love to make it easy, like you make it easy. And we make it hard on ourselves sometimes. So how would you tell somebody, hey, this is how you can be more consistent when you're thinking about money and business and happiness and harmony?
The first step is to really change your relationship with what you think of work. You know, I work a lot of hours, and I don't resent the fact that I have to work a lot of hours and I have a lot of responsibility, because when I am working, Nicholas, I'm executing. I'm executing upon my plan. I'm executing upon ideas that I have to actually get to success. A lot of the time people see another successful person and say, hey, you know, that person's got it made, or he sure does make it look easy. The reality is that it's not easy, but those who are the most successful often make it look easy, and people who do want to achieve but who aren't quite there yet think that it should be easy. So what I did in the book and what I do when I'm speaking on stage is I break it down into what's called the success formula. It is the idea plus the plan plus execution equals success. And we should only be spending a certain amount of time during each phase. Most of our time should be spent during the execution part of the formula. You know, the idea should take us about 1% of our time, the plan about, you know, 9% of our time, maybe execution about 90% of our time to actually get to success. Now, why is that? A lot of folks are just talking about ideas and they're stuck in the idea phase.
That's right.
They're spending 50, 70, 90, sometimes 100% of their time talking about ideas. We've all got friends and family members and colleagues who sit at the table, or every time you see them, you kind of want to roll your eyes because they're constantly talking about these ideas that they never act upon.
That's right.
They never execute. And those ideas don't go anywhere. So I remind people, just spend 1% of your time on the idea and then move on to the plan phase where you're spending about 9% of your time. Now, while you're there, you know, list out your pros and cons. List out any potential traps that you might perceive to get in your way, and try to plan your idea in such a way that you can constantly be executing and not getting stuck because you didn't put enough time into the plan phase. But it still should only be about 9% of your time. And then you ought to move on to the execution phase. The execution phase is where the real work gets done. It's where, you know, things come to light, where you might have to go back to your plan and modify them so that your execution can be actually possible so that you can get to the success phase. But if I could recommend anything to everybody out there, it would be to get stuck in execution. When you are in motion, it is hard to stop. You know, that's one of the laws of physics. Things that are in motion tend to stay in motion. The more you execute, the easier it will become, the more opportunities will come your way, and the more you'll be able to tweak your plan so that execution actually leads to success. So again, the success formula is idea plus plan plus execution equals success. Just remember how much time you should be spending in each part of that equation. You know, all of our time should basically go into execution after out of that idea and plan phase. Just do it, folks. It gets easier. You know, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it and everybody would be a multimillionaire or multibillionaire. But those who succeed are those who know how to execute.
That's right. And I love what James is saying. A real life example of this is Apple. Apple, the biggest company, I believe, in the world, worth $1 trillion. They get out their new version. When's the last time you didn't have an error when you did a big upgrade on your iPhone? If you go to version 11 from 10 and it's 11.00, Apple will put that out there, get it out. And Steve Jobs used to talk about this. And then they will right away, there'll be some bugs and they'll release an update. And, you know, it's scary, man. It's scary. Even people who have had success. I mean, me doing this show, I've done, 20, 30 interviews. I still get, you know, and you hear people, singers, they get nervous. Some of them nervous all the time. Just do it, right? GSD, get blank done, or just do it like Nike says. I love what James is talking about, execution. And you got to build in, I think, some padding that you're going to have to adjust. I went to Silicon Valley. I took an executive summary there, talked to the biggest SV Angel, which is the biggest angel investment firm in 2008 after a real estate crash. And all of the business plans change. They're not looking for a perfect business plan because every single one is not, it doesn't end up like people make a business plan and what actually happens is very different from every single business plan. They're really looking at the person. You know, that's what they told me. That's what multiple people told me. So just, I think what James is saying is just take that leap and get things going. And that I believe that will put you in the 10 percentile. You're talking about, you know, 10%. It's almost like you said 90% should be in the execution phase. And I would say out of everybody, we all have ideas. Just believe in yourself and build in the fact that you're going to have to make adjustments. Because a lot of us, I know I've spent, before I made a lot of money or in between some of the times I made a lot of money in real estate, it crashed, I had to build something new, it ended up doing millions of dollars of sales. I spent a year on things that didn't work multiple times. So you have to build that into your plan a little bit, in my opinion. That might soften the blow, because I remember spending a year on these things, and then I'm like, oh, it's not converting online. This sucks, I don't want to do it anymore. And you know, maybe that wasn't the best way. I should have probably thought, hey, I'm gonna need to adjust my business plan. So James, I love in your book, which again is The Purposeful Millionaire, and you can get it at jamesonamazon.com. It takes you right to the Amazon page. I recommend everybody buy it. In this book, you'll learn how to shift thoughts of self-doubt and fear into ones of certainty. And I love that so much because I would love everybody out there, in order to do these formulas, you hear great guys like James on stage, and this formula works, but it doesn't matter if it works, it matters if you're gonna do it. It matters if I'm gonna do it. I can sit here and say, that works, yeah, James, yeah, we should do that, but am I actually gonna do it? And all of us have those things, and it's individual for each person, or maybe we're gonna have, some people have near-death experiences, but everybody has a specific thing. And I would just say, to love those things about yourself. It reminds me to love myself, all of my little emotional issues or discrepancies or how I get frustrated with things and try to love those things. In fact, if it wasn't for those things, I wouldn't be talking to James right now or doing this show. I wouldn't have looked into myself to figure out what's going on. So love those things about yourself. But James, I'd love to get more of your thoughts on how people can shift their thoughts of self-doubt and fear into ones of certainty.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about some of the incantations to give yourself throughout the day when anything negative comes your way. One of the things that I'll do is I'll say to myself out loud, I love you, James. I love you, James, when I'm in my office. You know, so many of us are dealing with these issues of not loving ourselves as much as we should. Now, in order to love anyone else, in order to love an idea, to bring it to fruition through the challenges of execution to get to success, you've got to love yourself, you've got to love the idea, and you've got to have a lot of love in order to see things succeed. Now, these incantations work really, really well. The other thing that I'll do is I'll work on my breathing. Now, by breathing, I don't just mean, you know, in, out, you know, slowing down my breaths. I mean visualizing cool blue air flowing through my body, cleansing it, and exhaling negative thoughts, red air outside of my body to get rid of all thoughts of limitation, self-doubt, self-disappointment, self-hatred, all those things that could be holding us back. Now, here's the truth, Nicholas. Look in the mirror. That is your greatest competition. When we talk about meditation, when we talk about breathing, when we talk about these incantations and things that you say to yourself and sing to yourself in your mind quietly and out loud when you're in your office or driving your car all day long, you are doing the work to fix all the messed up stuff that's holding you back. Now, think about the other people in the world who don't know how to do this. Most of their thoughts, 80% of their thoughts remain negative, and they're not succeeding because they're stuck in the mud spinning wheels, and very, very few people do this kind of work of self-love on a daily basis. Now, if you do this, do it for 7 days, do it for a month, do it for a year, your life will be transformed based upon all these positive deposits that you're making, investing in yourself. And on the other end, you're going to be blessed financially. You're going to be blessed financially because you have a great attitude. You vibrate at a higher frequency and people are attracted to do business with you and they're attracted to your business. And you're opening the doors of opportunities just by investing in yourself. But many people in this world just exist. When you walk down the sidewalk and you see people with frowns on their faces, you know, those are folks who just exist. And you're working with colleagues who greet you and, you know, it's kind of a ho-hum greeting and there's no joy behind that greeting. These are people who are just existing. When you can find your joy by doing the work on yourself, everything changes and opportunities are attracted to you because of that. Now, I want to go back for just a second in that we talked about execution. But once you get to the execution phase, understand and be prepared in knowing that the tallest tree catches the most wind. That's an African proverb that I live by. You are becoming successful. You are becoming somebody who other people might not understand because of your joy and the higher frequency that you're vibrating at in life. You might be misinterpreted. You might be misunderstood, but that's okay. Keep doing the work. Understand that as you do the work on yourself and as you do your work by executing, you might have people who are jealous of you and you might have haters out there, but just be ready for that and stay in that execution phase and not that selfish phase. And don't think that it's selfish to do the work on yourself, but think of it as self-empowering to do the work on yourself. That way you can bless the world with the true person, with the true mission that you were meant to achieve during your time here.
Well, that is very empowering, just hearing that, because it reminds us to keep going. And that, you know, as I swear, almost everything that I ended up having a realization about, Qigong, Kundalini yoga, you mentioned some of the breathing, which I've heard in both Qigong, which is from China, and Kundalini yoga from India. I mean, including the not just simple breathing, but some of the techniques you just mentioned. And there's so many correlations, Reiki and it just tells us that even when you realize some of these things will work, we can resist it. It can be just in like I brought up those near-death experience studies again, because it could be tied into a pattern that we're a part of with our family over time. The reason I brought that up, I just remembered why I brought that up again. And James has alluded to it a couple times. And actually, I saw another guy that I can't place his name, but at one of these, at New Life Expo in Palm Beach, who had a near-death experience, who heals people with their patterns from that were a part of in terms of their family long-term. It could be before this life. You know, you could have a lot of trouble. Well, it could be from something not just in this life, but before this life. And James alluded to that a couple times, and I'm putting two and two together, and I've had my own realizations, but I've seen another guy with near-death experiences mention this as well. And so we're a part of a bigger thing, a bigger pattern, yes, in my opinion, based on what I've felt, and James might agree. But
yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, here's the reality.
Sure.
Don't get stuck thinking about yourself all the time, or thinking about what other people think about you. You know, you're thinking about yourself a lot more than most other people on this earth are. So when the ego is inflated because you're constantly thinking about yourself, you're creating limitations. Now, once we get rid of those limitations, and once we deflate the ego, you can actually start achieving your mission, because that's when you say, okay, I'm not worried about expectations. I'm not worried about me disappointing myself. I am just mission focused. Mm. Now, you know, in the words of Dr. King, when it comes to execution, I gave a lot of ideas about meditation, incantations, those kinds of things, and positive thinking about oneself to clear one's subconscious, to think at a higher level about oneself. But here's the thing. You don't have to do them all perfectly on the first day or the first week. Just take the first step. Just like with some business ideas that you have to achieve higher wealth in your life, with these meditations and thoughts, just take the first step. You might not be able to see the whole staircase, but what you might say is, I'm going to meditate for 30 seconds today. Or I'm going to try this breathing in blue air or exhaling this red air with negative thoughts for 60 seconds today. And I'm going to try to do it for 3 days in a row. That's a good start. And you're doing more than the rest of the world. Now, for me in business, I've seen a lot of my buddies succeed who only had an idea that was maybe 5% better than the existing idea that was out there. And it made them multimillionaires. You don't have to have the perfect idea. You don't have to have the perfect meditation practice. You don't have to have the perfect breathing. What you do have to do is to execute. And you have to execute consistently, because nothing matters if it's not done consistently. So I ask our viewers out there, if you start this, don't just try it. Do it. Feel it. Sense it. And then begin to witness the change taking place in your life. And over a lifetime, you'll look back on your life and think, wow, I achieved that. And that was because you were doing some of this wonderful work on yourself. And you'll be a happier person over those years throughout this magical process.
I would agree with that. And all I would add as well is, for some of us that have some cycles, right? With cycles of that, it can get better gradually over time through your cycles. That, you know, your highs can become higher or more harmonious, and your lows can become not as low, and you'll feel that. That's what's happened with me. And I agree, just doing something, you know, I started when I was 27, just meditating, clearing my mind, didn't even know why I was doing it, laughed at a bunch of these things. And I guess that was my point earlier. A lot of these things I laughed at, I thought they were crazy, and then they ended up helping me a lot. So even, you know, some people are not as even keel as James, and they want to laugh at stuff like this. They want to say, I shouldn't have to do this. You know, this is nonsense. And I was one of those people. And on almost everything that ended up helping me, at first, I had that reaction. And James, if we look at what's going on in the world, how can we apply some of these aspects of harmony to what is going on specifically in our country and also in our world? We have North Korea and things like that going on. How can we apply some of these concepts to our world right now?
I'll first say, wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody meditated?
Sure.
Everybody just took some time to breathe every day to get their minds in order. Because a lot of the time what the mouth manifests is what the subconscious is actually thinking. You know, these people say these horrible things, these bullying words that put the lives of other people at risk. Just imagine if our school systems taught meditation, taught breathing, taught positive thinking, taught subconscious clearing, taught the power of Reiki, and other really, really powerful things that work on people, we would be living in a totally different universe. You know, to answer your question, Nicholas, it first begins with yourself. And we talked about the importance of self-mastery. Then it begins with your household. When you're vibrating at a different frequency, when you're flying in more rare air, when you're more positive about yourself, your children become more positive and you have a more calm household, and your spouse becomes more positive and you become more loving. Now, once that household is more calm and positive, you take that energy out to the universe, into your workplace and into your communities and into your churches and into your social gatherings. And you begin to vibrate at a different frequency, and you affect these organizations and people who come in contact with you. So how do we change the world? We first do the work within. We work on our homes. We work on our houses next. We take it into our communities. And before we know it, we're seeing communities beginning to change because we're sharing with other people what we've done, the work that we've done on ourselves to become better people. Better husbands, better wives, better business leaders, better community leaders. We don't keep these things secret. And I've witnessed school systems changed. I've witnessed my clients' organizations changed. I've witnessed boards that I volunteer for change because it began with one person sharing with the other people the positive work that he's doing on himself. And that transmits energy into that organization. And before you know it, the whole organization is becoming better. Now, I want to give you a specific example. I sat at a boardroom table one day in a very difficult negotiation. And the other person across the table from me was, sweating and saying some very negative things. And he became very defensive and very aggressive. I took a time out, paused, and breathed just for about 10 seconds. I inhaled my positive blue air, I exhaled my negative air, and I again just calmed myself down. Before I knew it, the gentleman across the table was beginning to calm himself down. Mm. As I elevated myself, I naturally elevated him because I became a more calm, zen-like person. Before you knew it, we were listening to what the other person was saying in the conversation instead of talking past the other person in the conversation, and we quickly wrapped up the negotiation. It was almost magical. Now, you can take the same thing that I did in that boardroom that day into your job, into conversations, into situations when you're dealing with traffic, into the boardroom, into your church, into your communities, and all this can help us to live in a better world. But it first begins with you doing the work on yourself. When you are your best, other people will rise up to be their best.
Well, I have on screen a study. Washington crime study shows 23.3% drop in violent crime trend due to meditating group. And this really backs up exactly what James says. James, you know, I agree with you. I think that prisons, maybe we could love those people and help them instead of putting them in prison. And the school system, I agree with you. There's so many things I learned after. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that we learn in school, but there's so many things that we can change, you know. And I think what we're doing is we're trying to connect this, the quote-unquote spiritual, with the reality that could exist in our world and be a bridge between the two. And really with money and business, it's kind of the same, because sometimes people don't think that's spiritual. Now, you had a great quote we talked about on your website, jamesnowlin.com, N-O-W-L-I-N.com. We talked about that in a previous segment. But my point is, you know, some people don't think that's spiritual. We're trying to bring business leaders in and connect all these dots. But there are some really tough things going on in the world. I mean, really tough. I mean, the U.S., Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State under Clinton, was on 60 Minutes. We killed 500,000 children in Iraq in the 90s. Both parties. We killed 500,000 children. Our military. We're paying those tax dollars. And we can extrapolate these things on out quite far. So there are some very tough realities going on right now. And people can argue about what those are and which one is more important. But there are tough things. So sometimes it might not be so easy. It could be as easy as just, you know, I agree with you. One by one, if we all did what James said, the world would be a better place. Because basically what James is saying is he's leading by example. He's leading by example. And by doing that, if we all did that, things would get better. That is very true. But how can we bring that to a system which is, you know, there are certain things right now that might not be able to be reached easily by this influence. We're going to try to. We want to have a conference where we bring in world leaders and leaders of religions and things like that. And I'm talking about polarized. Like, let's say Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, right? Let's just say right now. I mean, I don't know that we can get them, but I'm just saying that is the biggest example. But how can we, in a world where it might, you know, first of all, we can only control what we can control. I could see where that would be a good response. But if we really want to get to shining the light on what might seem like the darkest things in our world, what can we do, James?
Well, with respect to Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un,
sure.
Those gentlemen are two very clear examples of men who flat out lack self-awareness. And by lacking self-awareness and having the power that they have, they are hurting people and putting many other people at risk. And it's unfortunate that what we talk about with respect to meditation, with respect to self-love, with respect to mastering your subconscious is often laughed at by certain systems. Mm. I imagine that these political gentlemen laugh at things like meditation or might laugh at things like incantation or prayer and say that, you know, they're not necessary and that people like you and I are just woo-woo. That's unfortunate. And I don't believe that there is an answer to changing the psyche of someone like that to understanding the power of the work that we do on ourselves to be better people and to bring that positive love and energy to the universe.
What do we do with those people? If we would forgive murderers out of prison and people that are in drug dealers and everything else, what do we do then with the world leaders? Do we forgive them?
I believe that if we send them energy, if we send them prayers, that we will see radical change. Now, some people might say, you know what? Praying for them is not going to work or sending them energy is not going to work. I'm a person who has received positive energy from people, and there have been days in my life where I've made a radical transformation in my life based upon what I believe are thousands of people worldwide praying for me. I do believe in energy. I do believe in sending people positive energy, and I do believe that the universe manifests action at certain points in time for a reason to a person, and that certain change can come if we do that. Collectively, it can come. I'm a true believer, and that's something that we can do as part of this Believe network here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, of course, President Eisenhower said in his last speech, beware of the military-industrial complex. That's a speech people can find on the YouTube. On YouTube. Also, JFK said secret societies are running the show. He did a speech on that. People can Google JFK secret society speech. And by the way, even if I think that it's actually the Rothschilds that are running both sides, and it's not the president, and it's not Kim Jong-un that are running the show, even if I believe there's some other force, I could still send them love too. The darkest
Absolutely.
Forces, right?
And, Absolutely.
And, you know, I voted for Obama. I voted for Trump, too. And I love that about, I love that because people really can't get that. And, you know, my stepmother's black. My stepbrother and stepsister are black. So, and I, my best friend growing up was black. And, you know, it's very tough to see what's going on. But my opinion is sometimes these are the people that need love the most.
They need it. They need it. And they need to be told that they're not bad. And you need to be told that you're not bad for voting a certain way. What we have are two opposing forces where one side is not hearing the other. And because the energy of those forces is so negative and it's so wound up in pointing the finger at the other person, one side can't hear the other side. And we end up with radical agendas where at the end of the day, you know, we're a lot more alike than we are different. We're a lot more alike than we are different. But what we can do is we can continue to send love, positive energy, positive forces to these people who some other people might think are bad.
Right.
I inherently do not think that Donald Trump is bad. I do not think that Kim Jong-un is bad. I think that they're both children of God in need of prayer, in need of positive energy being sent to them. And also we can do it by bucking the trend, whether you're a Democrat or an independent, or you call yourself a socialist or a Republican,
sure,
or a Tea Party member, send love to other people and stop pointing the finger.
That's right. I love what you said here. That's the thing I love the most. In fact, you said earlier in the interview something that I said, we're at war with ourselves. And in fact, I have a mirror over here. Eventually, I'm going to have somebody hand it to me, not right now. But you could just take a mirror and yell at yourself if you'd like. I mean, for me, I need to do that sometimes. Actually, that could help. In fact, there's a neuroscientist at GoCure.com. She cured herself of schizophrenia after 40 years in a mental institution and then was published in a medical journal by doing something similar, to be honest, because toxicity of anger can build up in your brain. You know, we're at war with ourselves. I mean, it's not Obama or Trump or anybody else. I mean, it's a reflection of me. It's a reflection of me, all this going on. I mean, it might not be me specifically. It might not be James. James is an even keel guy. I wish we're all like James. But I think this is a reflection. And we all need to, first of all, love ourselves. Look in that mirror. You can actually energetically see when you really explore Qigong and energy like James is talking about. And James, with his near-death experience, I would imagine, felt a connection with everything. I mean, you know, I haven't had a near-death experience, but there have been certain things where that's happened with me. And so you can look at in a mirror when you love, and it reminds me to do this after this interview, but actually you can see, you don't have to see anything. Most of what is real, we can't see. That's just a fact. So you can see in yourself maybe where some imbalances are, and you can send that loving feeling, and it will open up. It will open up. And some of us need to tune ourselves maybe a little bit more than others. I'm one of those. And maybe Mr. President Trump is as well, right? And you know, he's part of a system. So was Obama. So was Clinton. In fact, Clinton said, there's a government within the government I don't control. He said that in a press conference when he was president, somebody asked him about Area 51. So people can Google that as well. So, you know, there's a lot. And all those people, even if I think it's bad and the secret government and all this stuff going on, everybody needs love because they're all people. And we're in a battle against ourselves. So James is helping us at jamesnowlin.com, N-O-W-L-I-N.com. And also his book, James on Amazon.com. Excuse me. That's the website for his book. His book is called The Purposeful Millionaire. You get it at jamesonamazon.com. James, we'll show your website once again. What can we find on your website, sir?
So you can also sign up. You can sign up on the website for Millionaire Mondays. I believe that it is my job, my mission on this earth, to share positive news, inspiration with other people. So I send out a Monday email called Millionaire Mondays that are totally free. You'll get them in your inbox and you'll receive inspiration. So that's something that I'm very, very proud of. You know, you won't find me posting negative things on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, any of the social media websites. What you're going to find is positive inspiration from somebody who statistically should not be here on this earth.
Wow.
I am a living miracle. I am doing my best to share the good news about the beauty and the great possibilities of what comes from living a powerful, purposeful life. And I have dedicated my website to the universe and positivity. I've dedicated every word on there to help uplift other people. And my goal is to always speak constructively, to speak powerfully, to share this message, because even though I'm here as a survivor, I believe that people can get to their purposefulness without having a near-death accident like me. So that's what they'll find on the website.
I love that. We showed the free opt-in form. People can enter their email, get that free newsletter. I recommend everybody does. Our YouTube viewers saw that. And we'll go again. The website is jamesnowlin.com, N-O-W-L-I-N.com. James, last question for you, sir. What is possible for us? What are we capable of?
We are capable of radical love like we've never imagined. Love to the extent where we will see a coming together like we've never seen before in this universe. I believe that the pendulum has swung in the wrong direction. I believe that when it swings in the right direction, it will be something that we never experienced before. And it will be like that euphoria that I experienced when I was having an out-of-body experience when I was drowning in a lake in East Texas. I believe that people are amazing. I believe that people naturally are kind. I believe that people are good. I believe that we need to recognize and honor the love, the beauty in other people. But first, we do that by loving ourselves, by working on getting rid of some of the mind garbage that has trapped our subconsciousnesses in believing that we're not enough, we will never be enough, there was not enough money in the universe to be spread around, and that we've got to compete against each other. Once we stop competing, we will realize that there are infinite possibilities for people all across the world. We will have an environment that responds in such a beautiful way that will be reversing some of this global warming. We will be happier people. We will love each other and be able to look in each other's eyes and say, brother, sister, you are my friend, and we're dwellers on this earth together for a limited amount of time. But as we are here, we will live in unity and we will live purposefully.
Well, James, you've helped me to think about loving some of my mind garbage. To me, I know we already have the technology to end all poverty and end all disease. I know we already have that, and we're only going to get it, in my opinion, by loving the, first of all, our mind garbage. I can do that a better job of that even today, but also the thing I loved most is James said we can even send love to who we think are the toughest people. People that people think, no, I can't love that person. Think about, there was a lady in, I think, North Carolina at a church. Her kid got murdered. She got on TV. She said, I forgive that person that murdered my child. I mean, that to me is, you know, that's what I would love to be about. And that's what really hits my heart about James here, because that is not easy to do. It's easy to say, be positive. You know, oh, you can do it. Be consistent. It's easy to say that. It's hard to do it. James has done it. But to really say, hey, I'm willing to love the toughest things. And that's even hard for me. I had a brother who died who could have been cured. And I want to forgive that doctor, you know, and send love. And it was when I was very little, and it gave me a lot of feelings of anger. And I'm thankful even for my anger. And you can be thankful for yours as well. Sometimes it opens up things. And if it weren't for winter, would we even know what summer is, right? So sometimes we can be thankful for these tough things. So James, you know, go to James's website, James Nowlin, NOWLIN.com. Get his book, The Purposeful Millionaire, which is at jamesonamazon.com. Our website is believe.love. And our YouTube is youtube.com/believeloves you. iTunes, believeiTunes.com. Android, believeAndroid.com. James, it's been such an honor having you on Believe. I think we've, especially what you've said, it's helped so many people today. Thank you so much, sir.
And thank you so much, Nicholas. And let me end by saying, you know, I'm speaking on stages, sharing this message of positive thinking worldwide and how it can lead to a more purposeful life and profitability. Check out speakerjames.com. And if you like a great keynote speaker, invite me to speak at your corporation or for your association. And again, Nicholas, it's just been an honor to be here and to receive your blessing and to give a blessing to your network.
Well, thank you so much. I definitely recommend people check out James and hire him however you can. Have him coach you. Maybe I should do that, right? I need all the help I can get. I know that. So I love what James has said. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Believe. Have a great day or night, wherever you may be.